Good to see you all this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn into Ezekiel chapter 49, the book of Ezekiel chapter 49, way back in the Old Testament. On August 8th, 2004, the Vietnamese community of Westminster, California celebrated one of the kindest and bravest acts performed by a stranger on them. Because back in November of 1985, 96 Vietnamese refugees despaired for their lives along with their family lives also. When the engine of their boat carrying them across the South China Sea all of a sudden just conked out on them, just went dead. And these boat people, they were crammed in this rickety boat, could see this tropical storm all of a sudden heading their way. And for 4 days, they stood out there in the South China Sea, and they just watched ships pass by them. One ship, two ships, three ships. Then it turned into 10 ships, and then 20 ships, 30 ships, 40 ships, and 50 ships. And then when the 51st ship passed by, refugees waved and screamed and clamored in vain, and then... the South Korean fishing ship turned on about 10 minutes later, finally turned around and saved them. And then on board the ship, Jeon, the captain employed by the Koryo Wonyang Corporation for 16 years, was returning from the Indian Ocean along with 25 sailors and 350 pounds of tuna. And as Jeon's ship approached them, the captain could see the dire straits that these Vietnamese people were in. And he called his sailors together, and because it was against company policy to pick up any boat people, and Jeon told him that he would take the responsibility. And the sailors said, "Well, Jeon, we're with you, and we're in this together." But only years later did they learn what the refugees did and what had happened to Jeon, the captain of the boat. The shipping company, of course, fired Jeon for picking up the boat people, which was against the company's rules. And he couldn't find another captain's job, and he survived through a savings account and by helping out through friends' businesses and so forth. But on August 8th, 2004, 19 years after this dramatic boat rescue, hundreds of people in the Vietnamese community of Westminster paid back a debt that they could never repay. They honored the ship's captain, Ji Yong Jeon, after one of the survivors had managed to track him down. One survivor said he has the biggest heart because without his rescue, none of us would have survived. We would have all been dead. Jeon, who was now 62 years old, he shrugged off the compliment, saying, "Well, if I wasn't there, somebody else probably would have done the same thing as I would have done." Well, they didn't, because of all those boats that had passed by them. Jeon said, "As a fisherman for 25 years, I've caught a lot of fish. And during those 25 years, it was by God's grace that we found those people out there and were able to save all of them." God can bless you in ways that you never realize how and when. It could come years later, as in Jeon's case. I have a little different subject to talk to you about today, something maybe a little bit different, but I think it'll speak to all of our hearts today if you'll just open up your heart. Because the purpose of this message is to help build our faith and to help build your faith that God can do things in your life when you least expect it, and in places that are very unusual. I want to show you in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9. He says in verse 9, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whenever the river goes, will live." And it goes on to say, "There will be a great multitude of fish, because these waters go there." And then in verse 10 it says, "It shall be that fishermen will stand by it." And then from Engedi. What he's talking about there is the Dead Sea. And this is actually a prophecy about something that's going to happen in the future. He predicts that the Dead Sea will be healed of fish, of its death, rather. And it's called the Dead Sea in Israel because of the salt content in it. Nothing can live in the Dead Sea. But he said that there's coming a day when there's going to be fish in the Dead Sea. And it'll be so plentiful that fishermen will be called in to fish out these fish because it'll be so plentiful. You've heard the saying, it's raining cats and dogs. Well, recently I heard a story, or read a story, by other fact, about something that happened in northern Australia, in the outback. And it was a really amazing phenomenon that took place in this area in northern Australia. It's about 400 miles away from a main body of water, the ocean. It's literally in the desert. It's in a little desert village called Lajamanu. And what happened was, all of a sudden, there came this cloud, which is not so unusual, because in northern Australia, they do get rain seasonally, but this cloud didn't just rain down rain, it rained down fish. I'm not making this up, you can Google it. I mean, fish fell down from the sky. Fish began to fall all over the place. And they said some of them were frozen, and some of them were alive and flopping when they hit the ground. And what the scientists and meteorologists kind of determined what happened was, is since there's no main rivers or there's no coastline within 400 miles of this little desert village in Australia called Lajamanu, what they think happened is perhaps a tornado or a whirlwind got over this main body of water, the ocean, which is about 400 miles away, and it sucked these fish up into the air, and they went up into the atmosphere, and they got so high up there that they froze up there in the clouds. And the wind blew these clouds. I'm not making this up. Some of you kind of looking at me like I'm crazy, but you're looking at me like you don't believe this or something. But they think that it blew up in the clouds, and the wind blew these clouds 400 miles inland. And I guess the atmosphere, was warm enough in that region when it got over this desert region that the fish started melting and falling out of the sky. And some of them must have stayed alive up there. I don't know, but something happened because the fish perch, fell from the sky, and they collected them for 7 days. There were so many of them. Fish everywhere in the middle of the desert. You know, when God gets ready to send you your harvest, it doesn't matter where you're located. It doesn't matter if you have a rod or reel. It doesn't matter if you have a bass boat. God says if it's your season, if it's your time, He knows how to make it rain fish in a desert. They may not be catching anything on the coastline, but they're catching fish in the middle of a desert. And it's pretty amazing that when you understand Scripture, it's fish and fishermen. It's always a portrayal of the relationship, a relationship between the church and the lost world. The lost world is a type of a fish, because Jesus is always using the analogy of going fishing. Matter of fact, in Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Follow me," to His disciples, "and I will make you fishers of men." You'll catch souls. You'll catch men and women and boys and girls in the gospel net and bring them to the safety and into life. Now, the thing about being a fisherman is you have to use a certain test line. Now, most of you know this. They call that on a fishing pole the test line. And it has a weight attached to it, and it's called an 8-pound test line, or 16-pound test line, or 50 or 100-pound test line. And the deal is this. The reason they put the weight on the line is to let you know what size of fish that the test line can handle. The higher the number of the test line, the greater the fish you can catch. And I just want to say this, that the greater the test line, the greater the fish. The same goes for our life in Christ. The greater the tests, the greater the testimony. Amen? The greater the mess, the greater the message. the greater the resistance, the greater the revival. The greater the tests that God puts you through is a sign of what kind of fish, of what kind of harvest He's going to attach to it. Because He's not going to give you more than that you can handle. But He says, if you have been tested and tried, I know what you can handle, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to cause you to be able. Some of you have been through, some of you have got some pretty powerful test line that you've been through. So you need to believe God for some great fish in this hour that we're in today. And you need to testify to someone that the greater the test line, the greater the fish you can handle. You see, Jesus turned to His disciples one time and He said, launch out into the deep. Cast your nets into the water. And Simon, being a professional fisherman, said, Master, really what He was saying is this. I'm a professional fisherman. You're a preacher. You really don't know what you're talking about. Now listen to what He said. He said, we fished all night long and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll go out. And he let down his net. Now Jesus told him nets, but he let down his net, according to the King James Version. Now some of your Bibles, the New International Version, New American Standard, say nets. The King James Version says net. And as soon as his net hit the water, because he's God above the water and God below the water, as soon as his net hit the water, the Bible said that the fish began to swim into the net and his net began to break. And he had to call other ships into the region to come and help them so they could throw their nets in because there were so many fish. And their boat began to sink because they were taking in so many fish. What a powerful lesson this is. In other words, they're saying, hey, they're not biting over here, they're not biting over there, they're not biting over way over there, but come on over here. And before too long, I can see a little Baptist boat coming up and a little Pentecostal boat coming up and a little Methodist boat pulls up. You see, we've got to get past this denominational stuff. We've got to get beyond these barriers if we want to reach the fish in the world. If we want to reap the harvest, we've got to throw out our nets. We've got to send out the ships. And it really doesn't matter what background you're from if you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's time to come together. Because the harvest of God wants us to send us out for the fish. I remember when we first started going to summer camp as an interdenominational church. And I became one of their counselors. They really stressed to me the point that if you're not from this particular denomination of this church, we just want you to come down during the invitation as a counselor to be there for their encouragement, to just pray and make sure all their information is filled out. We really don't want you to have an active role in leading someone to Christ, because who knows what you might say to someone. Because it's not of our doctrine. But it was funny. Because when the invitation time came, you had 350 teenagers. You have 350 teenagers coming down from the aisles everywhere. Their denomination went right out the door. Their nets began to break. And they called for all counselors to come and help as these teens were seeking their Savior. See, what happens is a lot of us just want our boats filled. Our catch of the day, our catch of the week. But God wants His kingdom full. He doesn't want just your boat full. He doesn't want just our church full. He wants the kingdom full, full of those who are perishing. Understand what He said to Peter. He said, you need nets, but he only had one net. And they could have caught every fish in that lake, but he would have had, if he would just have had enough boats and nets. The Bible said all of their nets began to break and their boats began to sink. And if you only would have had more nets and more boats, what would have happened? You can't put a limit on God. God can still turn our state around. He can still turn our nation around and our world around. All we need is more nets and ships. This is why we believe in building homes in Guatemala. This is why we believe in investing in our young people, sending them to youth camp and seeing them come home with a restored spirit and a hunger for their Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why we would believe in feeding the hungry in our community by giving money to the Jesus House and the Grace Rescue Mission downtown to feed the hungry. Why do you do that? Why do you keep doing that? Because this is our time and God is not limited. If you believe that, say amen. Don't try to limit God. I don't care if you're in a dry desert. God knows how to get the fish to somebody if you'll throw a net, because if they believe, they can be saved. Some of you are in a financially desert. How many of you would like for it to rain blessing right now in your desert? Watch this. The Bible said on another occasion in Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, the disciples had a need, specifically Peter. And Jesus had a tax bill due. And Jesus gave a strange instruction. He said, go out and take this hook or line and put it in the water and you're going to catch a fish. And when you catch a fish, the first fish you catch, in its mouth you'll find a piece of gold in its mouth. Piece of money in its mouth. And take the money and go pay the taxes and my taxes. Now, how many of you would like to rain fish like that in your desert? That's my kind of rain right there. And he goes out and he catches this fish and it's got money right there, the resources that he needs in its mouth. And I want to remind you, if you're in a desert financially, that God is our source. I want to remind you that just when you think that you're so far from what you need, God can alter things. God can change things. God can cause the wind to blow in your direction. God can take business from some other resource, and bring it all the way over here where one of his children are in a desert financially. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know is plop, plop, plop. And you open their mouths and they've got blessings in it. There's gold in it. Because I believe in a God of favor. I believe in a God who isn't restricted by just what we see with our human eyes. I believe in a God who can bring blessing, and he's not limited just because we may be in a desert. Because I believe sometimes we've limited ourselves in so many ways by our wrong priorities. Or our wrongful habits that we've trapped ourselves into. But let's not forget how mighty our God is. We sometimes forget how powerful he is. Amen? We get so distracted with things that we forget he's a mighty God. We're so consumed with iPods and iPads that we've forgotten he's the great I Am. He can still do the impossible. God knows how much you need and I need to do his will. And he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Even if you're in a desert, God knows how to alter things. And even he can alter things and calls for the impossible to begin to bless you. How many of you believe in that kind of God? In reaching the harvest, you help people throw the net and help them with their new beginnings. You see, so many people don't understand that if you'll get involved with the harvest, the blessings will come. God will see to it that the fish that you have and the fish will come if we have the resources, but you have to help the people where they are. The problem is we want clean nets sometimes. That may be where Peter had some difficulties. That may be why he only dropped one net instead of nets. According to the King James Version, that is. Because a lot of times, it takes time to clean nets. He didn't want to get them dirty. Because in a net, when you pull it up, you have to clean it full of a lot of sea creatures that come along with nets. seashells, other things other than fish, get caught up in the net. Which reminds me of a lot of churches. They just want clean nets. They don't want anybody with any problems. They don't want anybody with any issues. Sometimes they just want a little social club. But when you start casting the net, it'll get dirty. It'll get messed up. There'll be all kinds of fish in that net. There's going to be some alcoholics. There's going to be some drug addicts. There's going to be some people going through some struggles. There's going to be some people with anger issues. There's going to be some people with going through some depression. There'll be all kinds of messes out there. But if we would only cast the nets, God will bring the resources to help them, to restore them, to heal them, and to empower them with the love and the fragrance of Jesus Christ. God knows how much you need to do His will. God knows what you need, because all that we need to do is cast the net. Because when you're sowing, and when you're giving, and when you're witnessing, and you're shining your light, God says, I'm going to resource that, because as you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. There's one more story about fish in the Bible. Because, you know, we need to start believing in miracles again in the body of Christ. Because I believe we've become so tame and so logical that we've dismissed the miracles of God somewhat. But God, if God wants to make it rain fish in the desert, in the middle of the desert, He can, because He's God. So there's a story that runs through all the Gospels in the Word, and it's about 5,000 people who were hungry. And they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 plus 2 equals 7. That means if you've got 7 people, that means you have 7 people with something to eat, which means 4,993 go hungry, according to our logic and our mathematics. But God's mathematics are a little different. God says 5 plus 2 equals 5,000, and when I touch it, there's a remainder of 12. Because when I touch it, there's going to take up 12 basketfuls of leftovers, because I'm not just a God of enough, I'm a God of more than enough. And you're going to take home basket loads of blessings after you fed everyone else. We serve a God who can heal cancer. We serve a God who can seal move mountains. We serve a God who can anoint you and raise your business up in a terrible economy, because God is able. I'm talking about a God who fed the prophet Elijah by causing a raven, a bird, who for 3.5 years in the middle of a famine, to bring him 2 meals a day and drop it in his plate. I'm talking about a God who took millions of people in a desert for 40 years and caused manna to come down with the dew and fed them 6.5 boxcar loads of food. I don't know what manna is, but it was something good because they ate it every day. I'm talking about a God who put clothes on their back for 40 years without any place to shop, without any Walmart or Target around anywhere, but He put clothing on their back. He put clothes on them, and He put shoes on their feet that didn't wear out. As their feet grew, their shoes grew with them, because God knows how to do miracles. I'm talking about a God who kept the oil flowing and flowing as long as the widow had a vessel to fill, because God can keep the oil flowing and unending, an inexhaustible supply to keep it flowing. I'm talking about the God who touched an old man who was 100 years old and his wife was 99, and they conceived and had a child and produced a nation called Israel. I'm talking about a God who touched a virgin who, and even though she had never known a man, she became pregnant with the Son of God, and His name shall be called Jesus, and He shall save His people, the people, from their sins. And His name was called Jesus. And I'm talking about a God who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the people and had 12 basket loads left over. So don't tell me that He can't provide for you. Don't tell me that He can't heal you. Don't tell me that He can't touch your family. Don't tell me that He can't set you free from your addictions. Don't tell me that He can't make you a way to be successful in what you do. Don't tell me that He can't bless your family, your home. Don't tell me that He can't make it rain fish in the middle of the desert. Let nature teach you that He's a supernatural God. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, you can discern the sky. And you can predict the weather and what it's going to do. He said, but you don't discern the times. He was saying, let God use the elements and even nature as His evangelist. And could it be that God is saying that I'm about to send such a harvest. I'm about to send such blessings to you. Such a harvest to you that in places that people weren't even thinking of, where I could bless them. In areas where it's so unusual that you never thought that it could happen in your lifetime. God says, I know how to make it rain fish in the middle of a desert. I want to close with this. When the prophet Elijah looked out in the Old Testament, and they were in a famine, and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And had that been most of us would have said, that's probably not enough for amount to anything to come up. But when the prophet saw a cloud the size of a man's hand during 3.5 years of famine, the cloud of the size of a man's hand is no big deal. Would you agree? I mean, especially if you saw it way up in the sky, the size of a man's hand probably would be really hard to see. But when the prophet Elijah saw this, he literally went crazy. He said, run for your lives. Flash floods are coming. Get off this hill and hitch your horses. And the scripture says that the prophet outran the horses of Ahab. And all he saw was a cloud. It was little, but it was loaded. Little as much, if God is in it. Because faith sees the unseen. Faith hears the unheard. I hear a sound, the prophet said. It's a sound of abundance in only a little cloud, but it's got great rain. You know, some of you may be just seeing little signs of turnaround, just little signs. Little signs of breakthrough. But if we would only stop discrediting the little bitty things, if God is in that little bitty thing, hit your horses up and get moving because it's about to rain fish in your desert. Somebody's getting a word today and somebody needs to believe. Maybe some of you are here today and you're tired of wondering. Maybe you feel like you're in a spiritual desert. And it's time for something to happen to you. Maybe you need a supernatural miracle from God. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's time to rain spiritual things in your life. I don't know. But all I know is God knows how to make it rain spiritual fish in a desert. Maybe you need to be set free from something. Maybe you have issues greater than you. All I can say is let it rain. Maybe your desire is to be in the center of God's will. And you may be miles away from where your source is, much like that little town, Lajamanu in the desert. Let it rain. God says, don't be deceived. I'm still God, and when it's time for me to bless you, I know how to find you. And I know how to make it rain fish in your desert. You never know. You may have done something years ago, much like Gion did. And all of a sudden, you hear this knock at the door one day. And God has great blessing for you. It may take a knock at the door. It may take a phone call. But God knows how to make it rain fish in your desert. And as we stand today, all I can say is just don't stay in your desert. God's doing something in your life. Step up and get a bucket. All I know is God wants to bless His children in a mighty way, but so many are afraid to approach Him. It's time for you to find fish in your desert. God wants to bless you in an unusual way. And let's pray today as God can bless you, as He wants to rain fish in your life. As the counselors come forward, I'd like to pray with you today, whether it be for healing in your life, whether it be for blessing in your life, whatever it is in your life today, don't stay in your desert. Let God reign in your life. Don't hold back. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that you let it rain. Thank you for replenishing our land with your natural rain. We thank you for that. Thank you for being a gracious God and letting it rain upon our land and replenishing our soil. We thank you for that today. But Father, we ask as your children to let it rain in our lives spiritually. Rain upon our lives spiritually blessings, favor, healing, restoration. Let us have the fragrance of your Son Christ in our lives to emanate from us, others, to draw in the nets of others, Father, of those perishing, of others who are in darkness and do not see his light. Let us be a light, Father. Let us bring in the nets for those who are perishing. If people today do not know who you are, let that Spirit be in them so powerful as you woo them to come to know you, and so that they will not perish, but have everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let them come today if they do not know you, Father. As we sing, let it rain. Let it rain. Over yet. If you still want healing, it's available for you. If you want blessing, it's still available for you. Go ahead and have a seat, please. I believe we come to a point in our church that we need to move past some barriers that we just need to break, to where if we do want to see the miracles of God, we're going to have to break past some things. And that may be just the way we normally do things around here. We get in our mind the concept of a message and a song and a dismissal, and we go on about our lives. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer for us to break past that. And I know I don't want to belabor things, But sometimes you have to do that for God to just break out of that box that we've so many times put him in. Because it's just, we put that box there. And I just want to be free here as a church. But at the same time, I realize a lot of you all aren't comfortable with that yet, and that's fine. That's fine. But we just want to let you know that this church is for you, and we want to offer blessings to you. We want to offer healing to you. And that is available to you should you desire it. Because we don't want to limit God, do we? God is a great God. And you all are wonderful people. You all are wonderful saints of God. So what I'd like to do now is I'll go ahead and dismiss services. And you'll be dismissed. And if you still need blessing or prayer, go ahead and remain behind. And if not, just go ahead and you're free to leave. Because I know everybody has things they need to do. So we'll just go ahead and do that. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for your blessings that you've given us today. The healings that are taking place. Father, you are a supernatural God. Your healing still takes place. Forgive us if we've forgotten that. Forgive us if we've archived that in our minds and left it in the history books. Your healing still takes place today. You are a great and mighty God. We have wonderful and mighty doctors and wonderful and mighty counselors, but you still are a wonderful and powerful and mighty God. And you give wisdom and understanding and knowledge to those doctors and counselors. But you still are a wonderful and mighty and powerful God that can still break through anything that we've tried to format you with. And we thank you for that. We praise your name for that. So, Father, I ask that if anybody here be seeking you, they would not leave here without finding you and being blessed by you, because you are a God of blessing, a wonderful God of love, who wants favor for his children. Nothing but favor for his children. Who has great love for them. So Father, give us a great week. We ask for a great week. Let us be obedient children to you. Let us find someone this week to bless. Someone less fortunate than us. Someone perhaps who's perishing, or someone that needs the light. Let us draw them to you. Let us bless someone, Father, this week, as you blessed us. As an example of who you are and the love that you have for us. Let us show it, Father, to a lost and dying world. Let us cast our nets. We love you, Father. We praise your holy name. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.